Father, just thank you for your love, for your presence. Use me in my weakness. We thank you, Lord, that you and only you have the words of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was youth advisor for the Diocese of Pittsburgh in the late 70s, one of the problems then was there were cults, and a lot of young people from mainline churches and nominal Jews were joining these cults, cults such as the Unification Church, which is called the Moonies, Hare Krishna, Scientology. I actually ended up trying to help a young man get out of the Moonies, ended up getting sued for between $15 and $30 million, but that's how I met my wife, Wendy. So it's a happy ending. I said, tell somebody if they want to get married, get sued by the Moonies. And that'll open up the right door for you. But anyway, there was a young man that had joined one of these cults, and he had grown up in a mainline church. He joined one of these cults, and he got out and became a true follower of Jesus. And so someone asked him, they said, how could you join one of these cults? And this is what he said. He said, all my years in the church, nobody asked me to believe in anything. Nobody asked me to believe in Jesus. Now, when you think about the ministry of Jesus, wasn't that the kind of the opposite? Didn't Jesus often bring people into a crossroad of having to make a decision? Remember when he turned to his disciples and he said, who do you say I am? Remember the woman at the well? He declared himself as the Messiah and called her to believe. Think about the rich young man. And he decided when he had the decision to make to trust his money more than to trust Jesus. So Jesus likes to bring us to the place where we have to make a decision about who he is. And that's what's happening in John chapter 6. It's kind of a continuation of where Pastor Niall was preaching last Sunday. So it's a continuation. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus brings this large crowd into a place where they have to make a decision about him. Now, a decision about him is an eternal decision. We sang that song forever. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. It's about forever. And so it doesn't just affect us for 10 years or 30 years or 50 years. When we decide about Jesus, it's an eternal. It goes on forever and ever and ever. It has eternal consequences. And one of the things you see in the scriptures and in the gospels, in the letters of Paul, James, in the letters of John, you see that they're concerned about people who think they know God. They think they're saved, but they're not really saved. You see a great concern for them. And so this is the story today. We see a lot of people that left Jesus because they were not following Jesus in a personal way. It was what they could get from Jesus kind of attitude. And the Sermon on the Mount, you know how that ends? You remember how it ends? It ends with this story about somebody on Judgment Day, and they say, we ministered in your name. We did all these wonderful things in your name. And what did Jesus say to that person? I don't know you. Knowing Jesus, having a personal relationship with Jesus, and trusting Jesus is salvation. That's what we heard in the gospel reading today. And so, have you made a decision about Jesus? Do you know for certain that if you were to die, you would be in heaven? Marty, does God really want us to know that? 1 John 5:13, I write these to you that you may know that you have eternal life. If you believe in the Son of God, that you may know. And that can sound very prideful, but salvation is not based on what we do. It's based on what Jesus did and how he changed our life. I love Jim's testimony about how Jesus came to him. Jesus calls us. And we read that today in the gospel as well. But the story about all these people coming to Jesus, when many of his disciples heard it, heard what he was saying, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" And then this is the complete Jewish Bible. On hearing it, many of his Talmudim said, "This is a hard word. Who can bear to listen to it?" And then this is the amplified same verse. When his disciples heard that, many of them said, "This is a hard and difficult, strange saying, an offensive and unbearable message. Who can stand to hear it? Who can be expected to listen to such teaching?" Have you ever found yourself in a hard place where life gets so tough you just say, "God, where are you? What's going on? This doesn't make any sense to me." So these folks were finding what Jesus was saying and was asking them was hard. And in a way, it didn't make sense to them. And what they were hearing was they found offensive. They called it a hard saying. And it was just not, it was hard to understand. It was hard to accept. And so one of the things that was hard to accept was the fact that Jesus said that he was the bread that came down from heaven. And they responded, they said, "Wait a minute, we know you're from Bethlehem, we know your mom and dad, we know Joseph and Mary, how can you say you came down from heaven when we know where you really came from?" So that was part of the hard teaching for him. But when he was saying he came down from heaven, what was he declaring? Who can come down from heaven? Only God. Some foolish people say Jesus never claimed to be God. You can't, a reasonable person cannot read the Bible, especially the Gospel of John, and say that Jesus did not claim to be God. And so this is part of their struggle. Here he's coming out, "I came down from heaven." So he's going beyond saying he's the Messiah. He's saying that he's God. So this didn't make sense to them. And so people began to leave. And Jesus then says, "Let me ask you this question. What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before?" So what he's saying is, what if you see my ascension? But we know there was a lot going to happen before his ascension, right? He was going to be betrayed. He was going to be whipped. He was going to be crucified and buried. Did he stay in the tomb? He rose from the dead. And so, but he said, what if you see this, my ascension, back to where I came from? But then he says this. He says, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing." The Spirit gives life. We had some of the prophetic words kind of underlines that. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. So why was he saying it at this time? So there was this large crowd of people that were following him. And they had recently been fed with bread. They'd seen Jesus' miracles. So they liked being fed. They liked the thrill of watching miracles. But now Jesus is asking them to trust him in some hard things to understand or to accept. He's asking them to accept it. And a lot of people who are just about following Jesus for what they can get from Jesus. The other thing they were looking for was a political savior. They were looking for a political savior. And Jesus was they could see that Jesus was not headed in this direction. He was actually headed in the direction where he was talking about how he was going to die. So they were looking for a political savior. So because who he was didn't make sense to them, they began to fall away from following Jesus. And the Bible says the flesh counts for nothing. Now, what they were into was a worldview where they were going to be comfortable, their needs were going to be met. It was all about the flesh, about having a political savior. But then Jesus is all about eternity. Let's focus on eternity. Paul says, don't focus on the things that are unseen, right? For they are temporary. I'm sorry, the things that are seen are temporary. The things that are unseen are eternal. And so that's the focus. Some of us would remember a young couple, Ben and Kaylee Stern. And shortly after they were married, they had an apartment fire. And they lost everything. Miraculously, God allowed them to find their wedding rings. Can everything that we have today be gone tomorrow, the things that we can see? They're temporary. And so Jesus was wanting them to see, have an eternal worldview, to look at the world about eternal life. What about politics? They were desperate for a political savior. They could only find the right political savior, then everything would be okay. Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar." But let's remember that politics is temporary and eternal life is forever. Do we have any in Church of the Messiah people here or members of the Federalist political party? One back there, Craig Cern. All right, very unique. How about the Whig party? Oh, he belongs to that one too. All right. At one time, there was a party called the Democratic Republican Party. Craig's in that one too. All right. Let's see if he's in this last one. There was a party called the Know Nothing Party. Oh, we got two people in that. The Know Nothing Party. Who named that? Know Nothing Party. And it was a party that was concerned because there were so many Roman Catholics coming into the U.S., they were afraid that the Catholic Church was going to take over the U.S. There were 43 people in Congress that were part of the Know Nothing Party. Do you think that party was motivated by fear and prejudice? Fear and prejudice. The Know Nothing Party. Where are all these parties? They're all gone, except for Craig Stern. They're all gone. Political parties are here, and one day they'll go. Politics is important, but it's not eternal. When we approach politics, we have to look at it from the perspective of eternity, of eternal life. And how sad to see the body of Christ divided. The eternal body of Christ, the unity that we have in the Spirit, to see that hurt by something that's temporary. So we have to keep our eyes fixed on eternal life. Now, that was the one reason the teaching was hard. The second reason, and that's why Tom, I guess the Holy Spirit had Tom read that, is because what did Jesus say to them? You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Moses taught the people, he said, don't eat meat with the blood in it. So do you think that would be pretty repulsive for them to be taught to eat the flesh? I mean, right there is pretty repulsive, but to drink the blood. And so you see why that was a hard teaching for them. And obviously, it has spiritual significance. And many people connected with us breaking bread and drinking wine in Holy Communion. So just being a part of the community and receiving Jesus in a very, very personal way. And he was really calling this large crowd to make a decision. Do you really trust in me, or do you trust in your concept of Messiah? Do we really trust in Jesus, or do we trust in our own concept of God? You know, either God has revealed himself to us, or we make up our own religion. And so here, Jesus has people that begin to turn back. From this time, many of his disciples, what's it say? Turned back and no longer followed him. That's interesting. He doesn't go after them, does he? He doesn't chase them. He's called them to make a decision. Will they trust him? And they decide, no, that they're going to leave. And so Jesus asked the 12, do you do not want to leave too, do you? And Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One. Now, I've been in places in my life where I'm just saying, God, where are you? Just when you think you're at the bottom, then something else hard happens. Why is this going on, Lord? Where else can we go? Atheism? There's no God? Gnosticism? Make up our own kind of God, our own kind of belief? Buddhism? Where you karma and reincarnation, that's the way to salvation? Hinduism, where everything is God? Islam, where God is very, very remote? And they don't believe that Jesus died on the cross. You know, and I understand why people would have a hard time believing that Jesus died on the cross. You think about it. Christianity is telling us that Almighty God, who created heaven and earth, allowed his Son to be whipped, to be spit upon, to be beaten, to be nailed to a cross. You think, would that be hard to approve? Why would God allow that? But when you go deeper, it's the most amazing example of love and forgiveness, that God would come from heaven to die in our place. That's a God I can follow. Where else can we go? Sometimes it does get hard, and we can be real with God about our struggles. But where else to go? Who else has the words of eternal life? And it's really about eternity, isn't it? You know, when we share our faith with somebody and they become a Christian, even if we're one among many, that person's going to live forever because we talk to them about Jesus. There's eternal consequences to what we do as a church, to what we do as individuals following Jesus. There's eternal consequences. Is anybody grateful for eternity? You know, I think I've done over 200 funerals in my life. And all the other leaders, right? Buddha, every other leader, where's their body right now? Decaying someplace, right? Or gone? Where's Jesus? On the third day, he rose again, according to the scriptures. He's seated at the right hand of God, praying and interceding for us. Is that a God you can trust, even when things are hard and even when his teaching's hard, that we can trust a God that loves us that much, that gave his life for us? The cross is the supreme revelation of both the love and forgiveness of God. If you embrace the cross, your life will be transformed. That was the testimony that Jim gave. And I like this testimony too, because he talked about trying other religions. I mean, it wasn't like the only thing he thought about was Christianity. He tried other religions, but this was the one that he found to be true and to transform his life. So, can we declare with Peter what he said? So what I'd like us to do, I'm going to ask the question the first time, and you respond with the answer. And we're going to do this three times, be Trinitarian. The first time we do it, I want you to emphasize, to whom shall we go? The second time, I want you to emphasize, you have the words of eternal life. And the third time, you are the Holy One of God. Why don't we just stand up for this? So I'll ask the question. We'll do it three times. The first time we're going to emphasize, to whom shall we go? Do you want to leave too? Do you? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe, know that you are the Holy One of God. Let's answer again. Lord, to whom shall we go. You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Now we're going to emphasize, you are the Holy One of God. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. We stand before the Holy One of God and we thank you, Jesus, that you are the bread of life. And Lord, even as you feed us spiritually through the body and blood, this bread and wine, renew us, strengthen us. Lord, if there's anybody here that does not know, has not made a decision about Jesus, Lord, I pray this would be the day they would surrender their life to Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you came so far from heaven to die on the cross, to be raised again, to give us eternal life. Eternal life. We're going to live forever. Let us keep our eyes fixed on eternity, Lord. Focus on the things that are unseen because they're eternal. In Jesus' name, amen.